Fáil chugadh your Irish connection with Laura O'Brien, providing your authentic connection to Ireland with a native voice on a mix of Irish mythology, Indigenous spirituality, archaeology, history, culture, society, storytelling, and travel around the island. Get more on www.lauraobrien.ie. That's LORAOBRIEN.ie. Introduction. Crow on the field of battle, wolf bitch, naked, screaming, white-haired hag, lovely daughter of a king. In medieval Irish literature, the Morrigan is many things. Such a figure presents the modern reader with many conundrums beyond the obvious. That she is a female figure symbolizing an activity in which men are dominant, indeed the most stereotypically male activity. Distinguished as a war goddess in a narrative literature lacking a war god, she is not only an individual or a trio, but also an order of malign creatures linked to each other by a web of names. One of the daughters of Earnmas, the Morrigan, the Bive, Maca, Nevin, Fea, and Danu. There has been no exhaustive, in-depth study of the Morrigan since the first article devoted to her, W.M. Hennessy's The Ancient Irish Goddess of War in 1870, gathered all the then available evidence. This dissertation is intended to fill that gap by gathering and analysing the primary evidence on the Morrigan and much of the scholarship. Its main premise is this: if we are to truly apprehend myth, rather than search for its origins, then it is best studied in a synchronic and paradigmatic manner. Any evidence is relevant regardless of date, since apparently late material may well spring from patterns of much earlier vintage that have gone unpreserved. Diachronic or syntagmatic studies may perceive patterns that are only artifacts of preservation. This investigation will consider all available evidence to discern what patterns emerge, what details cluster together repeatedly. The Morrigan has been presented in most surveys of Celtic mythology and medieval Irish literature as a war goddess, an appellation used at least as early as the first half of the 19th century. The first article devoted to her, W.M. Hennessy's The Ancient Irish Goddess of War, 1870, uses that designation throughout. Hennessy collected all the material about the Morrigan available to him, stimulated by an article written by M. Adolphe Pictet in 1867, which postulated the existence of a Gaulish war goddess from an inscription. Hennessy seems to have been the first modern scholar to at once call the Morrigan a goddess of war and infer her triple nature. His view became pervasive in the scholarship of his day, and indeed to this day. Hennessy's use of the appellation begged the question, what is meant by war goddess? It is an assumption in this work that a god or goddess of a facet of existence oversees or embodies that facet. Hence, a war goddess oversees war or is a personification of war in its many aspects. A war goddess could, at one point in history, personify war, but at a later date merely come to symbolise war as a literary trope. At any rate, the term goddess will be used to refer to the Morrigan throughout. This designation is not based upon any Morrigan cult, since none is attested. Rather, the goddess designation here refers not to the realm of religion, but instead to that of literature. The Morrigan is called a goddess twice in medieval Irish tradition, and as we shall see, this and other medieval Irish evidence attest to the belief of the medieval Irish that the Morrigan was a deity of the pagan past. An examination of how Irish translators interpreted classical deities of a martial persuasion will fill out our picture of their understanding of the Morrigan. We will also examine, much later in this work, the possible role of a Celtic war goddess in religion and cult. Archaeology has provided evidence of what may have been a continental Celtic war goddess cult. Finally, an examination of cultural parallels between Irish war practices, particularly the great Irish warrior Cú Chulainn's paradoxical relationship with the Morrigan, and the violent religious practices of the Viking berserks, may allow us to perceive an underlying layer of belief in a Celtic war goddess, long since buried in the shadows of time. But no matter what the Morrigan's actual historical religious status was, her goddess status within the literature itself is apparent. Hennessy's article remains the premier publication on the subject at the time of writing of this dissertation, and has been the main source of reference for scholars ever since, its influence still apparent over 100 years later. Alwyn and Brinley Rees in Celtic Heritage accept the Morrigan's triple nature, citing Hennessy. Although they do not use the title War Goddess, they refer to the Morrigan, Macha and Bive as three sinister and destructive female beings who prophesied carnage and haunted battlefields. In his popular work, Celtic Mythology, Pruntius Macana, likely following Hennessy, asserts their triple nature in a section titled Goddesses of War, giving the Morrigan as the designation of the trio. Anne Ross is the most assertive of all scholars when she says in pagan Celtic Britain, quote, "The Morrigan was one of a trio of war goddesses who appear in Irish tradition," end quote, and later adds, quote, "The triple war goddesses are clearly defined group in Irish tradition," end quote. Articles in other fields follow the same scholarly tradition. For instance, Roger Sherman Loomis's Morgaine le Fay and the Celtic Goddesses, 1945. Clearly these scholars assume a war goddess model, though none of them define it. Certain assumptions implicit in the war goddess model are evidenced within the scholarship, however. The first and perhaps most pervasive of these is the expectation that a war goddess should herself do battle. This assumption is evidenced time and again in the surprise scholars show at the fact that this Irish goddess does not fight, or so the scholarly consensus said. At least some of the Morrigan scholarship seems to assume that a war goddess would be the patron of warriors. This assumption is apparent in Hennessy's work and informs later scholarship as well. Both these assumptions will be re-explored herein. However, since Marie-Louise Sostet's 1940 Gods and Heroes of the Celts, originally written in French, Celtic scholars have rightly tended to shy away from straightforward models. While the Morrigan, or rather the category of war goddesses, is the only female deity that Marie-Louise contrasts with her category of mother goddesses, in her conclusion she notes that, quote, "The female type is that of the mother goddess, as contrasted to the chieftain god. Single and triple, local divinities, river goddesses, goddesses of seasonal feasts, animal goddesses, mothers and teachers, incarnations of natural forces of fertility or destruction. For the series of mothers merges into that of goddesses of slaughter, so that one cannot establish a clear opposition between them." This is true at least of the insular tradition, which is more archaic in this respect than that of the continent. End quote. Ross, despite her assertive statements, makes a similar but more general observation in pagan Celtic Britain, basically saying that Celtic goddesses are all things at once, more static and archaic than the other gods, and far less specialised. And indeed, some of the Morrigan's actions seem to contradict any simplistic interpretation, leading a number of scholars to focus on a dual fertility/destruction aspect when discussing the Morrigan. Ross refers to the Morrigan as a trio of war/fertility goddesses, noting her generalized nature in a note published in a book on the rebellion of Boudicca. In Notes on the Irish War Goddess, the relevant work most clearly showing Mary Louise's influence, John Carey argues for the opposition that she saw in continental Celtic evidence, that of land goddesses and war goddesses, extending this dichotomy to the Morrigan. In similar manner, in The Great Queens, Irish Goddesses from the Morrigan to Cathleen Ni Houlihan, a work devoted to tracing the sources of female figures in modern Anglo-Irish literature, author Rosalind Clark assigns to the Morrigan a fertility aspect, which is particularly apparent in what Clark sees as her function as a cow goddess. In recent works not so centred on the Morrigan, James Doan touches on the duality of sovereignty and war, as do McCanna, Maura of Ratnock, and Miranda Green. Miles Dillon and Nora Chadwick go so far as to simply call the Morrigan, Macha, and Bive mother goddesses of war in passing. Mary Louise credits the duality she posits to insular Celtic lack of sophistication. Quote, "The two types of goddesses, of which the one represents the powers of fertility and the other the powers of destruction, appear separately on continental territory. We find them confused in the persons of the same divinities in insular tradition, which represents, in this respect, as in others, a less analytical and more archaic conception than the Gaulish." End quote. While the most extreme explanation for the apparent contradictions in Morrigan lore appears on the popular level, author Mary Condren claims that the diverse variety of lore stems from the goddess's decline from mother goddess to war goddess under the patriarchy. Only François Leroux and Christian Guyanavac in La Souveraineté Guerrière d'Irlande, please forgive my awful French pronunciation, 1983, have attempted to develop a model to discuss these figures beyond simple classification or outright rejection of classification. Their work, operating from a rigid trifunctional stance, relates the Morrigan to the Indo-European context, but does not adequately address the medieval Irish context. It is time to review the evidence again, to compile the Morrigan's appearances in medieval Irish literature as exhaustively as possible, to gather in new evidence of a wider scope, and as much as possible to let that evidence speak for itself, to see what sort of model can be constructed for the Morrigan. This was an imperfect reading for accessibility purposes from War Goddess, the Morrigan and her Germano-Celtic Counterparts, a dissertation by Angelique Gulermovich Epstein, read by me, Laura O'Brien, and you can find more like this at www.lauraobrien.ie. Slán.